Isn't that nice? So, yeah, you appreciate that when you get 40. Let me tell you, you guys, you don't realize it yet, but you will. I said, oh, that won't ever happen to me.
Never say never.
Never say never. All right. I like large print. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now the emphasis part for tonight's study. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Amen. Scriptures encourage the public reading of the Word. There's nothing quite like it. We come together on Wednesday mornings now. We have terminated Friday mornings. We come together on Wednesday mornings now and we read the Scriptures and we pray. The reason we stopped coming Friday mornings is because nobody was coming. So we come on Wednesday mornings, and if you like to read and talk about the Scriptures, meet us here at 6 o'clock. And what are we reading? We're going through Proverbs, aren't we? Right. And so we're reading the Proverbs and talking about Proverbs on Wednesday in a public reading of the Word of God. This is, I think, the fourth message that we have done on this chapter. And we've seen a lot of interesting things in this chapter that I think is so important to us. The emphasis tonight, the thing that I will bring out tonight, is that the answer of eternal life is in loving the body. I want us to drive that point home. I want us to understand tonight when we leave this place that the answer to eternal life, that the well-being of the body, your natural body, is in properly loving and discerning the body of Christ. Did he say that weakness and sickness and even death was because some of those had not properly discerned the body? Is that what he said? That's what he said. Factions and divisions was among this body, was in this church. Factions and divisions can be in any church. And the warning that we have got to heed here, and that we will heed as we work ourselves through these verses, is that when factions and divisions enter into our lives, what we will have is weakness and sickness and death. So, I want us to make sure that we understand that the Corinthians were keeping the table. It's not that they were not keeping the table of the Lord. That's not why Paul is here discussing this or even in a way rebuking it. They were keeping the table. It's the way they were keeping the table. That's the problem. It's not that they weren't doing it. It's the way they were doing it. It was the mentality that they were doing it in. We keep the table of the Lord, and so we probably do it more here than any church that I'm aware of, that I'm familiar with. We do it every Sunday morning. We have a type of communion service, and then again we have the special table of the Lord remembrance service that we do on occasions. And we do it. And then the question that I have to ask as pastor is, are we doing it correctly? Are we doing it pleasingly to the Lord? So it's an important chapter, and we have seen already, first of all, that when Paul started this, he says, when you keep the table of the Lord, it's not for good, but it's for what? The worse. He says, when you come together and you do the table of the Lord, it's not for good, it's for the worse. And then he goes on and he's going to explain, tonight we'll see, that why what he's talking about there. And then the second thing that we saw is that when Paul explains how the Lord established the table, we took a whole lesson time and we talked about how the Passover was established, how they went through all the increments and how they did the Passover and how the Lord brought that into our table of the Lord into existence by the same methods. And then tonight what the emphasis tonight will be this is that now Paul will tell us what happens when it is not received, when it is not eaten and drank correctly. And that's what I want to say it again, because this is the emphasis tonight. What we will see tonight, what you will leave here with tonight, is understanding when you do not properly discern the body, when you do not properly make sure and examine yourself and make sure there aren't factions and divisions and grudges in you, if you drink of the table of the Lord, what you will be drinking to yourself is damnation. This is very important. And it finally got quiet in here. But it's very important. Because when we partake of the body of Christ, and we have in our life factions and division and grudges, when we're not forgiving, what we are literally doing to ourselves is bringing a condemnation and bringing a judgment upon ourselves. Now, this is not good Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin teaching. This isn't. Talks about Father chastening us. Talks about a lot of things. And that word chasten, when you trace it down to its root meaning, and you'll see it tonight, it means hit. Why do you think we call him Father? Man. And so this is what I'm wanting. I'm trying to get this started so that we'll be looking for it and we'll be prepared for it as we begin to move into it. So that's the emphasis tonight. Now in verse 27, he says there, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I want to do a word study, and you know that when I teach, I do a lot of word studying. The word unworthily, in the Strong's Concordance, and you can look these words up too, if you don't trust me, and I encourage you to. The word unworthily actually means irreverently. When we partake of the table of the Lord irreverently, and when you trace it down to its root, it means unfit. When we partake of the table of the Lord, I hope I don't fall into that thing. When we partake of the table of the Lord in an unworthy way, in an unfit way, he says when we do this, then we are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. When we do it in an irreverent way. And the thought there that I want to project to us, what would be an irreverent way? Is it making noise? Is it coming in to take the table of the Lord and, And then after we've taken the table of the Lord, going and hugging people and talking with people. No, I don't think that's what he's saying here. What I feel that the emphasis is here is when we have grudges, when we have divisions, when we have factions. And I can project this better as we move through it. But I want to make sure that we're together on irreverent. An irreverent way is by not properly discerning the body. Now, by not properly loving one another. And that's what I really want to emphasize tonight. I want us to get a hold of this. Then he says, in that irreverent way, he says, he goes on, and then in verse, I want to get another word there in unworthily. That would want no guilty. You're guilty of the body and the blood. The word guilty there means liable to a penalty. Chasing it on down. It's a derivation from the word to hold in or upon, ensnare, keep a grudge. And final to its final root meaning, it means to hold. This is not something that is readily shook off. When we come and take of the table of the Lord in an unworthily, in an irreverent way, where there's factions and divisions, where there's grudges, where there's unforgiveness working in our lives, it's not readily looked over by the Lord. The Lord looks at this in a very stern way. He doesn't wink at it. He looks at it very sternly. And I want to make sure that we're grasping this. So if I'm repeating myself, just forgive me and stay with me. Guilty means liable to the penalty. There is a penalty that comes when we do not properly love the body of Christ. How long will this penalty last? How long does it go on? How long will the Lord hold this against it? How long will you hold your grudge? How long will you stay in your faction? How long will you be divided with a brother or a sister? How long will you walk in unforgiveness? When you deal with that, then the Lord will be able then to release that from you, and the weakness and the sickness and the death that's working in us will come forth and come out. Verse 28 tells us, but let a man examine himself. The length of time that this will work in us will be until we properly examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And I want to emphasize in a moment that bread and that cup. So the answer to how long will we be under this grudge, how long will we be under this guilt, is the length of time that it takes us to come to the point that we examine ourselves. Let's look at the overhead on examine. The word examine actually means to test, to approve. Let a man test himself. Let a man approve himself. Let a woman test herself. Let a woman approve herself. Coming down, finally, the root word means acceptable. Let a man bring himself or her, let a woman bring herself into a place that she's acceptable. When we were in school, or when you're in school, whichever the case may be, or when you go to school, that should get us all, there will be tests. There will be times that you will have an exam. The test or the exam is to approve you to go on until the next level. In our school, what we do is if you don't pass the test, you don't go on. In the Lord's school, if you don't pass the test, guess what? You don't go on. How long will you be there? How long will you be stricken with this guilt? How long will He hold you there in that place where you're at with that? With that working in your life, how long? Until you can examine yourself. Until you pass the test. Until you are approved to go on in the things of the Lord. We have a saying in the charismatic world. Well, brother, I'm just speaking the truth in love. No, you're not. What you're really doing is you're getting a lick in. And we've got to come to the place, folks, where when we get that lick in on somebody, when we speak the truth in love, that we realize who we're speaking the truth in love to, who we're getting that lick in on, is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. You are the body of Christ. And we are not looking at each other in that dimension. Folks, if we looked at each other in that dimension, we wouldn't say the things about each other that we say or do the things to each other that we do. Would you say the things about Jesus that you say about me? About your husband? About your wife? Would you? Somebody answer me. And what we've got to come to the conclusion of, folks, is that we really are the body of Christ. And this is what I'm trying to bring it to, is properly discerning the body. Examining ourselves. How do I look at this person? Am I looking at this person as Jesus? Do I love them? Verse 28. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now get his context. This is, I'm going to tarry here for a little while. The context here is that when you have not properly discerned the body, there is a guilt. You are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So that when you now partake of the body of Christ, what you are doing now is you're eating of that unforgiveness. You're eating of that faction. You're eating of that division. You're eating of that unforgiveness. And what that works into us and works in our lives is weakness and sickness and death. So, if a man will not forgive, if he will not examine himself, if he continues on in his grudges and factions and these things and unforgiveness and these things, so if that's what he's going to do, let him eat of that. And rather eating of life, we eat of death. Now, is this the word of the Lord? Am I on track here? Is this what he's saying here? I want to make sure now. And again, this isn't good Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland stuff. But this is the word of the Lord. And we have really got to, I've been talking with Pastor Tebow, and we've been talking about the body of Christ. How that we really don't see each other in that dimension. But we will. We must. We have got to come to the place where I see Jesus in you. And just because you don't do it the way I want it done or the way I think it should be done, that still doesn't remove my thought of seeing Jesus in you. And if I see you in another way, then I eat of that. If I won't forgive you, if I get a faction against you, if I get a division against you, then I begin to eat of that. And what's that going to work in my life? Tell me. Weakness, sickness, death. The secret to eternal life is improperly loving the body of Christ. The secret to health, the secret of living the abundant life is in the body of Christ. Let me read this. When we examine ourselves and correct our lives, we eat life. If we do not correct and adjust our relationships with others, the bread and the drink we partake becomes weakness and sickness and death. The scriptures say, so let him eat and drink. Let the person do it. In so doing, we bring damnation on ourselves if we have not examined our relationship with the Lord's body. How important is the body of Christ? How important is the body of Christ to you? How important is it to come on Sundays and corporately join together in worship and praise and let our voices mingle and become as one? How important is it to come and study the Scriptures together? And how important is it to come and pray for one another and to love one another and to hug one another? Tell me, how important is it? Did you hear me? It's not just important. It's a matter of life and death. Why am I big on the body? Why am I big on the church? This is why. The secret of the abundant life is in the church. It's not me and Jesus got my own thing going. It's the body. It's the church. What did he die for? He died for his church. There is nothing more important in the whole universe than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a church man. I love the church. I'm smart. If you're smart, you love what Jesus loves. I want to give us some overheads and look at some different translations. But first, let me show you what damnation means. What we eat or drink is damnation. Let me add this. I should have, and I didn't. Just wanted to. On examine. Okay, the primary meaning for examine is to test and to approve. Tracing it down, it means acceptable. But its final root word means to think. Stop and think. Let a man think. Let a man examine. Let's stop and think. Is there division? Is there a faction? Is there unforgiveness? Think. Then, if you don't, then damnation comes. And the word damnation, right there. And what it means is a decision. That's interesting to me. It means you've made a decision. If I walk in unforgiveness and I take the body of Christ, if I'm in a faction, if I'm in a division, if I have a grudge against people, I've made a decision to drink death, to eat death in my life. It's a decision, damnation. You decide to be damned. It's a decision. Tracing it down to its final root word, it means to distinguish, decide, try, to condemn. Does the Lord condemn us? Or do we condemn ourselves? Why? Because we haven't understood the body of Christ. Came to say. Am I getting this across, Michelle? Is this coming? Okay. It's a heavy word, but it's a word that'll work life into us. It's a heavy word, but it's a word I think that we really need to hear. So what I want to do now is maybe look at some other translations. We've read the King James, and maybe you have another translation in your lap. So what I want to do is put up some of the translations that maybe you don't have. Starting here with the Living Bible. It says here, that is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if he eats the bread and drinks from the cup unworthily, not thinking about the body of Christ, and what it means, what's he doing? Everybody read that together. He is eating and drinking God's judgment upon himself. Some other ones. Today's English. So then everyone should examine himself first, and then eat the bread and drink from the cup. Let everybody think first, and then eat the bread and drink from the cup. For if he does not recognize the meaning of the Lord's body when he eats the bread and drinks from the cup, he brings judgment on himself as he eats and drinks. NIV. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Phillips Modern English. No, a man should thoroughly examine himself, and only then should he eat the bread or drink of the cup. He that eats and drinks carelessly is eating and drinking a condemnation on himself, for he is blind to the presence of the body. Jerusalem, everyone is to recollect himself before eating this bread and drinking this cup, because a person who eats and drinks without recognizing the body is eating and drinking his own condemnation. How important is the body? How important is it when we come to Sunday morning service and we come in here and we do the responsive readings and then we ask us all to kneel and to examine ourselves and to confess and to see what's in our hearts? How important is it to really do that? Is there a grudge? Am I walking in unforgiveness? Is there a division? Have I got a faction? How important is it to really give time to do that before we partake of the cup and of the body of Christ Jesus? How important do you think it is? I think it's ultimately important. It's not that we're not doing it. It's how we're doing it. And we can't make us do anything. This is something that each of us has to purpose in our own hearts to do. So discerning here means to separate thoroughly. That word discerning, is it here? No, it's on the other sheet. Discerning here means to separate thoroughly. That's what discerning means. When we come and we give time, what we need to do when we come to these altars and have the special time or on the, when we have that, discern, separate thoroughly, look into your mind, think, is there problems? Have I got an ought with somebody? Is there unforgiveness? Is there a faction or a division in my life that I'm walking in or that I'm a part of? If so, folks, that really does need to be dealt with. The primary thought is that we have proper relationships with the body. And the relationship with the body greatly determines our health and our judgment. Am I right? Excuse me. Let me read it one more time. The primary thought is that we have proper relationship with the body. That relationship with his body greatly determines our health and our judgment. If I'm having proper relationships with the body, if I'm examining myself, if I'm thinking, if I'm dividing the body and I'm looking and I know that everything's clear, then I can know then that I'm free from God dealing with my life in any kind of a judgmental way. Whom he loves, he's Father. I can look. I can eliminate at least that aspect of his dealings with my life. So let me ask us some questions. First, do we see that health is in the body of Christ and in properly examining ourselves? Do we see this? Then, do we really believe that we are really the body of Christ? Bonnie, do you really think that Angela is a part of the body of Christ? Do you really think that that person that's, y'all are holding hands, you two girls are, do you really believe that she is a member of the body of Christ? Well, then why do you get mad at Angela? She gets on my nerves. That's right. Now, if that was the Lord Jesus, would he get on your nerves? Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm trying? Lance, do you really believe that Bonnie is a part of the body of Christ? Then why do you get mad at Bonnie sometimes? See, then you really don't see her as a part of the body of Christ. Now, this is not saying that we don't make mistakes, that I don't make mistakes and that you don't make mistakes. But the point is that we cannot allow factions and divisions and unforgiveness to come from the mistakes that we make. If we do, then what's happening is that we begin to eat judgment and condemnation on ourselves. I'll give you another scripture. Jesus is teaching us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Forgive us even as we forgive others." Let's all say that together. "Forgive us even as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." Then at the end of that passage, he takes two verses and he explains what he says. He says, "How do you expect God Father to forgive you if you won't forgive people?" Is that right? And so when we walk in these things and we get mad and angry with one another and we let unforgiveness and grudges and we start keeping records and we do that, what's it going to work in our lives? Now, do you believe the word of the Lord is true? If you don't believe anything else, you can believe heaven and earth is going to pass away, but you better know that this is going to last forever. And so what we've got to understand is that, yes, I'll make mistakes. Yes, you'll make mistakes. People will hurt our feelings. People will do things that we don't think is right. But what we have got to do is immediately deal with it, forgive it, and get on with the life. The only thing that we're told in the Scriptures to remember is he says, "Remember me. Do this in remembrance of me." Don't keep a track on what I did to you last year. Forgive me. And go on. We have got to come to the place that we really begin to see each other as the body of Christ. I want you to turn in your scriptures with me to the book of 12:27. Because I want you to see this verse. We'll be here in a couple of weeks probably. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Paul is now talking here about the gifts of the Spirit. And he breaks it down. After he's talked about the gifts of the Spirit, he goes now, he talks about the eye can't say to the hand and all these things. And then he comes to verse 27. Now you are Christ's what? Body. And individual members, or King James Bible says members in particular. What are you? Are we members? Are you a member of Christ's body? Then it is up to me then that I must train myself to see you like that. And you must train yourself to see others like that. We really are members. When Paul talks about the body of Christ, he's not talking about somebody up in heaven sitting on a big throne. What he's really talking about is you and I, his church, his members in particular. He wants us to learn and look at each other just like that. Valerie, you really are part of Jesus Christ. And I have got to see you like that. Right? Right. We really are. Betty, you really are a part of Jesus Christ. And I have got to see you like that. Isn't that right? And somehow, folks, we have got to get over the little factions and divisions and schisms and little hurt feelings and little things that we do to one another that really, really doesn't matter when you compare it to what it works into our lives if we allow it to manifest. Weakness and sickness and death. Do you think we'll ever come to that place? Do you think we should come to that place? Sure we should. Then, to the Apostle Paul, I think you can see here, there is nothing more important than the body of Christ. The body is his church. He died for his church. And there is nothing more important than our relationships with one another. Told you before, come to the Lord. They ask him, what is the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love God and love people. He says, if you've done that, then you've fulfilled all the law. Everything else hangs on that. Everything else hangs on that. So, another thought that I want to give us is that now he's not talking to the heathens. He's not talking to the lost people. Who's he talking to? He's talking to these Corinthian believers. He's talking to us. So this isn't something that comes on the world. This isn't a judgment or a condemnation that comes on the world. What this is something that comes upon the church. Now, the precious promise. Now the good part. Are we ready for a good part? Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's the good part. If you will examine yourself and judge yourself, what does the Bible promise? We won't be judged. Is that a promise? So you can immediately eliminate the thought that God is mad at me and ticked off at me because all these things are happening. You can immediately eliminate it. You won't be judged if you're judging yourself. The first thing that we need to look at when things start going haywire in our lives is we need to examine ourselves and judge ourselves. Is there unforgiveness in my life? Are there grudges in my life? Are there things working in my life that are bringing a condemnation and a judgment from the Lord onto me? Now I know the Lord doesn't judge anybody, right? Now, let me read verse 32. But when we are judged, we are what? Chastened by who? By the Lord. Uh-oh. That we should not be condemned with the world. Now, why does he do it? So that we won't be condemned with the world. In Hebrews, it tells about him he loves, he chastens. Now, this word chasten, you'll love this. Word chasten. Means, the primary meaning is to train up a child. Means to educate a child. Isn't that neat? Proverbs talks about that when a man loves his child, he won't spare the rod. This word chasten talks about to train up a child is to educate. Tracing it down into its roots now, it means a boy or a girl. How many knows there's no respecters of persons? And when you file it down to its final root word, look what it means. Can everybody see this? What does that say? Now that's what that word means. Now it might not be in your theology that the Lord God will hit you. It's in the word though. Whom he loves, he... Because he hits. Because he's Father. He's Father. And he loves us and he doesn't want us to go through what the world's going to be going through. The reason I disciplined my children when they were little, and I discipline them right now, The reason I do it is because I know that if I don't, then there's a condemnation, there's a judgment, that things will happen to them in the world that I don't want to happen to them. Whom he loves, he hits. I really loved you, didn't I, Lance? Hold on. So the primary word here of chasten means to train up a child. He trains us. Trains us in the ways that we should go. So the Lord dealing with us as a father. And then in communion, I want to say this, that we look in three directions. We look back, we look present, and we look future. He tells us to look back in remembrance. He says, do this in remembrance of me. That's what we're to remember. We're to remember him. Did he forgive you and me? Did he forgive us of our sins? So when we look back and we think of the Lord, we want to think about the forgiveness. And what should we then do? What is the ministry of reconciliation? Forgiving one another, as Christ hath forgiven us. So what he's really talking about here is when we come irreverently, is coming with schisms, unforgiveness, and these things. He says, look back. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he says, look present. Examine ourselves. That's today. Don't wait till tomorrow to do it. You know, there's a scripture that just came to me. In Egypt, when God was bringing judgment upon Egypt, and there was the plague of the frogs. Remember the plague of the frogs? Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, tell me when you want. And Pharaoh, he was ready to. Pharaoh said, okay, I'll let you go. Just take these frogs away. And Moses said, when do you want me to take them away? And he says, tomorrow. Now, why wouldn't he say now? Because the same reason that you and I say, I'll forgive them tomorrow. I'll deal with this tomorrow. I want to hate them one more day. One more day with the frogs. So we look today. We look back, remember it. His forgiveness. We look at today. Is there anybody that we should forgive? And then we look into the future. He says, do this how long? Until he comes. Until I come again. So that's the way that we look and we do communion. Communion will be something that we'll always do. And it's something that we always have to deal with. And every week, then, we come in here and we give opportunity to really deal with ourselves. Then he says this in verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. The word there, tarry, is really a time word. The word means to accept, to await, and to receive. We're to come in, we're to accept it as the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not just that, we're to accept and receive one another as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to accept it, we're to await on it, we're to wait on one another, receive one another, we're to tarry one for the other. We're to remember him, discern the body. Remember that. We're to remember the Lord. We're to discern the body. Then in verse 34, Paul closes this teaching out with a rebuke. He says this, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Now, he's already kind of got after the other guys that had a lot and wouldn't share. Now he's getting after the guys that just came to pilfer. You know, there are really people that come to church just to get. Now, that's okay. Let them come. Maybe the Holy Ghost will get a hold of them. But what he's saying here is he says, listen, if you're just coming to get, stay at home and do it. Don't come and bring judgment on yourself and on the body of Christ. If you want to eat, if you just want to come and get, stay at home and do it. If you just want to come and get drunk, hey, stay at home and do it. Well, I shouldn't have said that one. Listen, let me go back to the first one. If you want to come and just eat, stay at home. If your purpose of coming to the church is just to come and get and not just to come and give, stay at home. We come together, we're to minister one to another. Every joint is fitly formed together and every joint supplies the. We really do need to see. Doug Akers, one of his favorite thoughts is that when he prays for people or when he's prayed for, he really wants us to see one another as the body of Christ. He's preached a message, and the basis of the message was this, is that when we are prayed for, that person that's praying for us, we need to see that person praying for us as the body of Christ. That is really Jesus laying hands on you. That's not old David or old Barry. Amen? That's not old Turk or old Delbert. That's really the Lord laying hands When we come, we tarry, we minister one to another. We love one another. So in conclusion, how important is the body of Christ? Have I got this across tonight? Have I hit this hard enough? My philosophy in ministry, my philosophy in the church is that there is nothing more important. But yet I am persuaded that the majority of Christianity does it as a sideline. We'll go to church on Sunday if there's nothing else to do. Excuse me. If there's nothing more important that I feel like I need to do, then I'll be at church. Is that the proper attitude? If I feel like it, I'll be there. Is that the proper attitude? How important is the body of Christ? To me, there is nothing more important in the universe, and that my whole life revolves around the church. When you say, well, you ought to, you're the pastor. That's why I'm the pastor, because that's my mentality. There is nothing more important than the church. There's nothing more important in my life than you. There should be nothing more important than your life than one another. And when the church finally comes to that and really decides that that's really true, we'll move into eternal life. And I'm not talking about when I die, I'm going to heaven and have eternal life. I'm talking about overcoming the last enemy. How many knows what I've just said? There is the final enemy is what? Death. There will be a people that will understand what I have just said. One day I don't understand this. I still get mad at you. Some of you. I've got to deal with things, little oughts and factions and things that you do I don't like. But I know that I've got to. I don't carry them. People come up to me and they say, you did something to me 2 years ago and I got to ask you to forgive me. My God, you've been carrying this thing around for 2 years? 2 years with the frogs. Yeah. But at least they finally got rid of it. But the thing, you know, what I'm trying to say here is that, folks, we have really got to come to the place that we really see the body of Christ. So how do we handle communion? Do we tarry for one another? These are questions that I'm asking this church. How do we do it? Are we doing it correctly? Do we see each other as brothers and sisters? Do some people come to pilfer from those who have? Do we spend time remembering the Lord? For me, I've got to deal with that fault in my life. So I believe, to you and me, that we're understanding that the body of Christ is most important. And sometimes I wonder why I don't preach messages like this on the AM service. And I think the reason is because you guys are pretty much the solidity and the foundation of this church. And I think that we need to be examples, don't you? And that if we can move in this and do this, then it'd be much easier for those that are just here on Sunday mornings to do it. We've got to be examples, not only to our church, but to this whole city, to Jerusalem, Jamaica too, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I really believe that some people have heard some things tonight and that has shaken some thinking. I pray this is true. And Father, I pray that we truly understand that there is no way you allow us, you let us get by with holding unforgiveness and grudges and divisions and factions. That what that is doing is that we're working a condemnation, a damnation upon ourselves. Into our very own beings, we're drinking and eating weakness and sickness and death. And Father, I pray that right now, each person has heard this. Each person has been convicted by the Holy Ghost if there is these things in their lives. And that we won't have another night with the frogs. That we'll deal with those things right now. I want you to take a second and just examine your hearts. And if there is somebody, let me tell you how to deal with this. If there's somebody that has offended you, and there probably is, how many of us have opportunity to be offended? How many of us have opportunity to get mad at people and upset with people? Sure. If this has happened to you, somebody has offended you and there is unforgiveness and there's things working, don't go up to them and say, hey, I need you to forgive me. They probably don't even know they did it. Just forgive them and then act right towards them. Don't go up and say, brother, I just really want to tell you something. I love you and I forgive you. And then the person says, well, what did I do? When you deal with unforgiveness, just forgive. Just do it. You don't have to go say, I forgive you. Just do it and act right towards the person. Amen. Amen. Is that good teaching? Let's baptize somebody.